When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. Whispering Pines Incident, Flagstaff Camp, Horror and Vanishing Children, Whispers from the Dark. Greetings, fellow seekers of shadow. I am Raven Vale, your guide through the veiled histories and chilling legends that cling to the darkest corners of our world. Tonight, our journey takes us to the high desert plateaus of Arizona, specifically to the ponderosa pine forests surrounding Flagstaff. Here, beneath the vast, star-dusted skies, lies a landscape that often seems to breathe with ancient secrets, a place where the grandeur of nature can swiftly turn to an unspeakable terror. We delve tonight into a case that defied all logic, shattered a community, and left a chilling question echoing through the pines. The Whispering Pines Incident. The year was 1991. The place, a seemingly idyllic summer camp, nestled deep within the Coconino National Forest, just outside Flagstaff. It was called Camp Blackwood, a rustic retreat for children to connect with nature, to hike, to learn, to forge friendships under the towering, resin-scented pines. But that summer, the camp became the backdrop for a horror that law enforcement, seasoned investigators, and even the most cynical locals could never adequately explain. The first alarm was raised when a group of parents arrived for visitation day and found the camp eerily deserted. No cheerful shouts, no campfire smoke, just an oppressive silence broken only by the rustling of the wind through the vast pine canopy. The initial search was frantic, desperate. They found the counselor first. His name was Mark Jensen, a young man in his early 20s, beloved by the campers for his boundless energy and his genuine love of the outdoors. His body was discovered in a manner so grotesque, so profoundly unnatural, that it immediately ruled out any conventional accident. Mark Jensen was impaled atop a 30-foot ponderosa pine tree. Not just hanging from a branch, but meticulously, disturbingly, driven onto the sharpened spike of a broken limb high above the forest floor. His position was defiant of gravity, a macabre tableau that spoke of immense, unnatural force. His eyes were wide, frozen in a silent scream, staring blankly at the indifferent Arizona sky. The horror had only just begun. A head count revealed that four children were missing. Young campers, ages 8 to 11, vanished without a trace from their cabins, their sleeping bags cold and empty. Panic gripped the search and rescue teams, transforming their methodical efforts into a desperate scramble against time and the deepening shadows of the forest. The sheer impossibility of the counselor's death, coupled with the inexplicable disappearance of four young souls, plunged the incident into the realm of the truly macabre. Days bled into weeks. The search grew wider, involving hundreds of volunteers, canine units, and aerial surveillance. Yet, the vast, unforgiving wilderness yielded nothing. No footprints beyond the initial chaos of the camp. No discarded clothing. No sign of struggle. No abduction vehicle. The four children had simply evaporated into the thin Arizona air. But then, a glimmer of hope, or perhaps a new layer of dread. One of the missing campers was found. 11-year-old Sarah Miller was discovered nearly 5 miles from the camp, curled into a fetal position beneath an ancient juniper tree, barely alive. Her eyes were wide with a terror that seemed to etch itself into her very soul, a terror that transcended exhaustion and exposure. She was severely dehydrated, disoriented, and deeply traumatized. Medics noted something else, something profoundly disturbing. Her fingernails were utterly destroyed, embedded with fragments of stone and grit, as if she had clawed her way through solid rock in a desperate, impossible struggle. Once she regained some semblance of consciousness, Sarah's account was fragmented, hallucinatory, yet consistent in its central, chilling detail. She spoke of the night, of being awakened not by a scream, but by whispers. Soft, insidious whispers, calling her name and the names of the other missing children. Not from human voices, but from the trees themselves. She claimed that one particular ponderosa, taller and darker than the rest, had a mouth that opened and closed in the gloom, its ancient bark seeming to twist into grotesque, speaking features. It whispered their names, promising them things, urging them to follow, to step into the comforting darkness. She described an indescribable pull, a hypnotic lure that drew her and the other children from their bunks into the cold night. She recalled walking, or perhaps floating, through the silent forest, the whispering voices surrounding them, growing louder, more insistent. Her last clear memory before waking under the juniper was of being close to that tree with a mouth, its whispers turning into a seductive chorus, its looming presence filling her vision. The last thing she could recall was a sudden, agonizing sensation of falling, a profound sense of being pulled into the very earth, struggling with all her might against an unseen, immovable force. The embedded fingernails, the shattered stone beneath them, seemed to corroborate her impossible struggle against something utterly immovable. Local law enforcement, from the Coconino County Sheriff's Office to seasoned FBI agents brought in for the missing children, were left with no answers. How was Mark Jensen impaled 30 feet up a tree with no obvious means of ascent or force? Why no signs of a struggle or a fall around the base? And the children, how did they vanish so completely? And how did Sarah survive miles away with injuries consistent with clawing through stone? The official reports concluded with unexplained circumstances, a bureaucratic euphemism for utter bafflement and a profound lack of conventional evidence. The why of the Whispering Pines incident, therefore, stretches beyond the realm of conventional crime. Is it a cryptid, a unique, undiscovered entity, native to the Arizona high country, capable of preternatural strength and perhaps a form of psychic manipulation? The idea of a sentient, malevolent force tied to the ancient trees themselves is terrifying. Perhaps a creature that blends seamlessly with the forest, able to ensnare its victims through sonic illusions and physical impossibilities. The very silence around the vanishing, the lack of struggle for Mark, points to a predator that doesn't rely on brute force in the conventional sense, but something far more insidious. Or could it be something far more ethereal, something truly paranormal? The Flagstaff area, with its volcanic history, its ancient Native American sites, and its stark, breathtaking beauty, is rich in spiritual lore. Could the Whispering Pines incident be the manifestation of an ancient, malevolent, elemental spirit? A tree spirit twisted by forgotten tragedies or darker energies? The idea of a tree with a mouth, whispering names, suggests a deeply sinister, conscious entity, one that preys on the innocent and manipulates reality within its domain. This theory aligns with the unexplainable strength required to impale the counselor and the impossible struggle described by Sarah. Some of the whispers among the most superstitious locals speak of something even older, something tied to the land itself. A forgotten curse, perhaps, or a disruption of ancient, sacred ground by the presence of the camp. The pine forests, while beautiful, can also be deeply isolating and disorienting. For centuries, native tribes held certain areas as sacred or taboo, recognizing an inherent power or danger within the landscape. Was Camp Blackwood built on such a place, inadvertently awakening a dormant malevolence? The psychological impact on Sarah Miller is as profound as the physical evidence. The ingrained terror, the fragmented memories of whispering trees and a terrifying struggle against stone suggest a trauma that goes beyond a human encounter. It points to a psychological torment inflicted by something utterly alien and horrifying, the black-eyed children phenomenon, often a modern urban legend, finds a disturbing echo in Sarah's account of children being lured by an unseen force. While her account speaks to a single tree with a mouth, the idea of a malevolent presence targeting children is a shared thread of deep human fear. The enduring mystery of the Whispering Pines incident lies in its utter defiance of explanation. Law enforcement closed the case as cold, but the questions remain, hanging in the arid Arizona air like the scent of pine. How does a man get impaled 30 feet up a tree without a ladder, equipment, or external assistance? How do four children vanish completely from a secured camp? And how does one child survive, miles away, with fingernails embedded in stone, claiming a tree whispered her name? These are not questions for detectives. They are questions for the realms of the unexplained. So, as we conclude our unsettling journey into the shadows of Flagstaff tonight, I urge you, fellow seekers of shadow, to contemplate the profound horror of the Whispering Pines incident. Was it a cryptid, a terrestrial monster hidden in plain sight, uniquely adapted to the silent hunt? Was it a malevolent spirit, an ancient entity of the Arizona wilderness, brought to life by some unseen catalyst? Or was it something even more profound, a terrifying manifestation of the deepest fears of childhood, of the wilderness, and of the unknown, brought to chilling life by the very trees that guard its secrets? The truth, like the missing children, remains lost in the vast, whispering embrace of the Flagstaff Pines, a chilling whisper from the dark. The next time you find yourself surrounded by the silent majesty of an ancient forest, when the wind rustles through the canopy, listen closely. And be careful what names the trees whisper back. You've been listening to Whispers from the Dark. I am Raven Vale. Until our next journey into the unknown, keep your perceptions sharp and your gaze fixed upon the shadows. Good night.